Blog Talk Radio.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there.
Welcome to Break On Through. Here you can travel realms uncharted, blur the lines, break the chains, open yourself to possibilities waiting to be discovered on the other side. I am Pam Ray. With me is my co-host, Intimidus Rex. Rex and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Now, if you find out that tonight is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out our poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets on Amazon, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Rex.
Hello, what's up?
Oh, well, you know, life is good. A little bit warmer than usual today, up into the 50s, you know, so a little bit of sunshine, yeah, life is good, kind of calm and, you know, all that good stuff. And, of course, I'm looking forward, as always, to hanging out with you and delving in, and hopefully other cool poets, and delving into some awesome poetry. Now, how about you? What's up with you?
Just more rain. That's about it.
Yeah, that's... I tell you, when it happens for days, you begin to wonder if you need to start building that ark. You know, it certainly doesn't let up sometimes. I know we're going to pay for it later, like we'll have tons of snow that I'll be complaining about later. But right now, I'm happy that even though it's chilly, oh wait, no, I take it back. We did have rain last night. We did. But you know, our rain has been very courteous, I have to say. Like, so far, it's only in the past, like, few days, it's only rained either, like, late at night or on days when I didn't have to go anywhere. So, yeah. But, hey, at least, you know, the rain, it's good for making sure that, you know, the plants and the flowers and everything that need it will get it. The good with the bad, I guess. But, yeah. Yeah. But, all right. Well, about our prompts, we actually ran two contests. The first one was on what is called a trifecta. It's three separate paintings but put together. And they were The Hope of a Condemned Man, 1, 2, and 3 by Jean Miro. And I'm not 100% sure I'm pronouncing that right, but I heard it once. And I know it's spelled Joan, like J-O-A-N, or how we would pronounce Joan, but it does have a slightly different pronunciation. And then the other contest was a quote by him, and that was an 8-spots-only contest. And that quote was, "What I am looking for is an immobile movement, something which would be the equivalent of what is called the eloquence of silence, or what St. John of the Cross, I think it was, described with the term mute music." And so, but of course, we are going to start the night with a couple of carryovers from last week. And so, what do you got for us, Rex?
Otherworldly by Blossom Riser. And that was yours.
All right. And it goes like this. Marbleized indigo sapphire, persuasion of air and wind strokes, glide stone wash lathers foam, oxidized swashes of water droplets, salted tears of an iris, rivulets rile, swell, reverberate, rhythm, waves and depth, a deep blue against thunder jolts, converting a morose gray stormy disposition, a tidal pool gone rogue. Striations, interfold, parallel slopes, bending, curve, winding, curling, intersecting. The viscosity held to light resurrects winged spools of ivory streams in Parisian lapis lazuli glaciers, its oceanic landslides in sinking scales. Escaping gulls, force of its being conjures the steady oars to balance intensity, compose conglomerates stressed by caresses, in its soothing calm accentuates the healing tones. End poem. That is just beautiful. Such stunning imagery in this. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, it wraps itself within the picture, and there is a semblance of a face in the picture itself. So, but it looks like it's underwater. So it's kind of it's got that washed out, eroded look to it. But I like the balance of color that walks through to actually kind of help reconfigure the mood and the feeling of this piece itself. Because it does walk as a water piece with a sort of reverberate rhythm, waves in depth, a deep blue against thunder jolts, converting a morose gray stormy disposition, a tidal pool gone rogue. And that does hit on that flavor of a little bit washed out, a little bit eroded in the moment. So I like it.
Yeah, me too. And I thought Otherworldly was a perfect title for it, especially when looking at that painting and the kind of almost surrealism and the sense of movement and almost the idea of looking down at a planet or at, you know, from a high level. I really liked the imagery and alliteration in this. I like the references to the water, as you said, in the movement, like wash, lathers, foam, and the mention of the swells and the waves. I also like how she brings in the color. I really like the lines, viscosity held to light, resurrects winged spools of ivory streams and Parisian lapis lazuli glaciers. It makes me think of the idea of how the earth, like the idea of history of glaciers moving and changing the presentation and the shape of the earth. And there was a wonderful sense of movement in this. And a great ending line to bring up the idea that there water is can be a very calming and healing element. So excellent write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Just Outside the Veil of Gray by Old Faithful. A thin man stands at my door, just outside the veil of gray curtains, hanging still as day breaks. He could easily slip within through window cracks and fabric weave, reaching out to grab at me, but his knock is light and soft, like in a dream not quite forgot, that ends in a kiss on the blue sky bliss. I could get a better look if I brushed aside the white-gray cover, discovering there a red-hot lover and not a midnight crook. My hand reaches out for the curtain's fold, but doubts begin to rise, brazen boldness sinking into cold immobility. Cloaked in cotton colors, even a scant barrier blocks the sunny faces when fear presides. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Rex. Sorry. Wonderful read. Wonderful write, my Old Faithful. You know, that's like I said before, I love surrealism prompts because I get to see what other people see in the artwork. And I like that he looks at this, that blue in the center is a figure. And I can definitely see that a thin man stands at my store just outside the veil of gray curtain. I really like the imagery and metaphors in this. I thought it was an excellent write on learning, trying to push away that veil of fear, but struggling with it, and how when we're dealing with that anxiety, we're dealing with that fear, even the brightest of faces look scary. I really like the line, but his knock is light and soft, like in a dream not quite forgot, that ends in a kiss under blue sky bliss. I could get a better look if I brushed aside the white gray cover, discovering there's a red hot lover and not a midnight crook. You know, and I like how those lines, as well as the whole poem, speak on the idea of sometimes we need to take chances and draw back those veils, those curtains. So excellent write and very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, just outside the veil of gray is that foggy embrace between the awake world and consciousness, sleep itself. So I get that angle with this. Even the thought with the lover. That's just
where'd you go to, Rex?
I'm right here.
Hello? Did I do something?
I'm here.
Uh-oh, I can't hear you. Got anything you could adjust? You didn't mute yourself, did you?
No, I didn't mute myself.
Okay, well, for some reason, there was a whole nearly like a minute there so that I could not hear a single thing you were saying. I apologize. Do you want to...
Outside the veil of gray implies that notion between the sleeping world and the waking world, that tone where everything is not quite lucid. The thought with the light lock and the red hot lover implies one side of that curtain while the fear sits on the other side. Something is going on that the mind is playing with in sleep mode and trying to give an idea of what happened that day, that week, that month. It doesn't matter. It's something that lurks in the background that the mind is trying to deal with in a comprehensible manner that presents itself as something that needs to be dealt with.
You know what? I like that. I like that thought and the idea that the figure behind the veil is that which we can't necessarily deal with in our waking mind, but need to be in that sleeping mind, that dream world, that, you know, where the subconscious is more open. So excellent comment there. All right. What do we got next?
A line interrupted by A.R. Mundell.
All right. A line interrupted. Line scratched on an empty wall, days marked by fingernail hope, clinging to them, thin as they are, that proof of his existence scrawled for others to bear witness that he was there. He fought. He lived. A hope which lights the walls up in the dark. For other unfortunates trapped in the cell, the one they have been tweeting in, flapping around in, clawing at all these years, a whole land engulfed in birdsong bars, kept bonded by the illusion of freedom. Cell door which they cannot bar themselves, unable to keep out the unwelcome, power pooling like a waterfall suspended, constantly dashing their attempts to lift themselves up from the marshy floor and keep the cell from being flooded. Raging waves surge up to meet the power, red as the stripes on the flag they would fly as the blood spilled in the name of its beauty and the bright red hope of its beating heart in sync with the breasts of her countrymen as she is lifted higher than she'd been in years. Yet the blue cascade never stops, never lessens. That messy blue, the triangle crown over her stripes, embellished by a star of hope lighting the way. Her skies, the tiles of Casa Betilo, the sunrise haze over her distant mountains, the cold realization that I will never again see them. The livor mortis death of that red fire curling within me, curling around thin scraps left to me, churned to gold with each new sunrise I see. The feel of those golden rays she slips in, soaking me in sunset warmth and whispering of the lands its heat caressed, the lands I fought for, comforting me with the promise she'd return. Long after my face will be there to feel it. Another line etched into the wall with her passing, and another stutter, wondering if this would be the last. Sunlight caressed, casting them golden with her approval, the record of his being, like the gold stripes of the flag, which he hopes will surpass him, red, gold, and blue, flying over the white of an overcast sky, of blank walls and clouded history, lines of incarceration etched upon it, and his, a line interrupted, and poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
This can point to be like that opening stanza, the sort of alone in a cell and scratching out one's existence one day at a time. But it walks a little bit further than that. Unable to keep out the unwelcome powers pooling like a waterfall suspended, constantly dashing their attempts to lift themselves up from the marshy floor and keep the cell from being flooded. It hits more along the lines of someone who's trapped within an existence that is an illusion, with an allusion to freedom, because there really isn't any. She hits on the sort of cell door which they cannot bar themselves, unable to keep out the welcome. And then the thought of the flag itself walks through. The blue cascade never stops, never lessens. The messy blue, the triangle crown over his stripes, embellished by a star pope biting away. It hits on that note of demise of a country, of a thought, an ideal, a promise, an echo being wasted in the dark.
Yeah, I like that thought. I like that thought very much. And I have to agree with you, you know, like, you know, there's this whole idea of someone being a prisoner of war. But I like the imagery and the metaphors of these birds being behind the bars, a hope with which lights the wall up in the dark for other unfortunate trapped in the cell, the one they have been tweeting and flapping around and clawing at all these years, a whole land engulfed in birdsong bars kept bonded by the illusion of freedom. So, you know, I like the line, the illusion of freedom, and the idea that to keep a people blind to the imprisonment that they're actually in. And I really like that you mentioned how it's the death of an idealism, and as well as the death of a country. You know, I have to say, I feel really bad. I don't know how this happened, but I always try my best to comment on every poem in a contest. And for some reason, I skipped over this one. And I feel so bad because it's such a beautiful and brilliant and intelligent write that I definitely will have to go back and comment. And I feel bad that I missed it in giving it a comment. Definitely needed one. But yeah, I like how that there is this, I like the end lines with the, or I like how throughout the whole poem, there's this idea of this man scratching these lines to keep records of not only of himself, but of all the prisoners of this particular, I can't think of the right word, but, you know, of this lie. They're these prisoners of these bars and chains of lies, and the idea of blank walls and clouded history, I thought spoke very strongly on the idea of how people want to cover up and change history. So amazing write and very well done. Oh, and just to let you know, Rex, I did send you a message, okay?
Yep.
Okay. All right. And what do you got for us next?
Emotions Carry Through Time by Darkened Ores. She took three picks with the quote, "He sits behind iron bars, filled with red-hot anger, claims state that his actions caused a wholeness of danger. Time passes. A sea of tears flood his eyes, his saddened mood just a blue disguise. Time draws near. They call him yellow as his time draws near, shivering and sweating beads of fear. Time to go. He knows his life, it ends today as guards walk him down the dim hallways. Time has come. He held out hope that he'd be cleared, and at that final moment, a court file interfered. Time stands still. He was granted a stay of execution. Turns out he did nothing wrong. Time stood still as he took in the fact he was innocent all along." And poem.
Great read, Rex. You know, I just realized Yeah, you know what? Now I don't feel so bad. I know now why I didn't comment on A.R. Mundell's poem, because I haven't judged this contest yet, so I haven't commented on anybody's poem. Okay, well, now I feel slightly better. I thought I was slacking there, but wonderful read there, Rex. I really like how she separates this one, and she separates each stanza with a line that has something to do with time. And I feel like those lines in themselves could be a separate poem. Time passes, time draws near, time to go, time has come, time stands still. I like how those all speak on the procession of life. I found her AN really interesting with the, I like the picture, and it gave me the vibes of red meaning anger, blue meaning sad, and yellow meaning fear. And I thought those emotions would go over well over time for someone condemned for something they didn't do. And I like that. I really liked the where she brings in the yellow. They call him yellow as his time draws near, shivering and sweating, beads of fear. Time to go. He knows his life. It ends today as guards walk him down the dim hallway. She really captured with these short, impactful lines and great rhyme the idea of someone taking that long walk to the electric chair or the, you know, to their death because of being condemned. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
So once it does reflect that dead man walking tone quite well to the last two stanzas, and then that thought of time stands still in a moment because it is the idea of time passes, that notation to time spent, then the drawing of the near, you understand what's coming because that date is drawing near. Relegated all your appeals, that's been done. Then a time to go, reality walking in on itself, and then a thought to come, and then that final reprieve at the midnight hour, so to speak. And then the realization on the back end of, they finally figured it out. Yet that doesn't actually make up for the fact that time has already passed quite a bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I like that you touched on that end part and the idea that how time, well, at least this is how I picked up, is the idea that time has that kind of relativeness to what's going on in your life or in that moment. Sometimes it feels like it's moving really fast and sometimes it feels like it's slowed down. And so, very cool comment. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Hope Midst Despair by Betty Page.
All right. Hope Midst Despair. Circling, spinning, spiraling out of control, smacking down real hard, helplessly drowning. Harsh waves pound as you're tumbling, choking on the water. Shores so far away, you feel you'll never reach it. You're tossed around fierce, barely rise for air. Coughing spits out salt water, drenched wave after wave. Life seems so hopeless. You're at the end of your life, drifting all alone. You feel pulled downward, riptides keep you from swimming. Seems you go nowhere. As you turn around, another set tears you down. Life is relentless. Then there's a rainbow. Ray of light missed your darkness. He's come to save you. End poem. Beautiful, right? And in your thoughts, Rex?
Okay, it's probably hitting on the actual thought of reality with this swimming in the ocean or body surfing or something. You get pulled down because you hit on the riptide. So you get pulled under. You leave all hope in that span of time and until someone reaches down, grabs your arm. But also hits on that notion of walking a metaphor towards the fact that you feel life rolling down the toilet, so to speak, until somebody reaches out and lends a helping hand as well. So, because the back end might actually impart the notion of death, and that helping hand is someone reaching out from the other side, pulling you into the light.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought this was a beautiful spiritual rite. As always, she's got amazing imagery. Wonderful 575 lines. I like how this is both literal and metaphorical. The idea of actually drowning in water, but also the idea of drowning in life, and the idea that, you know, help comes when it is most needed, when we feel like we've sunk to the bottom. It's then, you know, that our cries are heard. So wonderful lines. I particularly like shores so far away you feel you'll never reach it. You're tossed around fierce, barely rise for air. You can really see the struggle within that. So amazing write and very well done. All right, and what do we got next?
Gray Grass by Howard Osborne. Gray Grass. There, right in front of my face. Of course, I can see it clearly. A sort of loose, red, scruffy blob that is just hovering there above the smudgy gray mat grass. My ear shaped to listen and hear. Sound then invited deep within. This time, a blue woolen ball carries the audible message from the smudgy gray grass. The sense of smell is delicate, honey-colored scented fluff, reaching up to stir receptors, identifying both what and who above the smudgy gray grass. End poem.
Great read there, Rex. I have to say, I don't think I've seen Howard Osborne before in our shows, but it might have been just it's been a while, but either way, it's good to see him. Always good to see new names. I really thought this was an excellent brevity. There's such an observational tone about it. And I like that this isn't just about the imagery, like that what is seen within the grass, but what is heard. That second stanza speaks strongly on that. My ear shaped to listen and hear sound that invited deep within. This time a blue woolen ball carries the audible message above the smudgy gray grass. I like how this is that idea of communication, and it seems almost alien-like. There's something that makes me think of the idea of communicating with an alien life, an unknown life. But wonderful use of the senses, great imagery, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
I'm going to go with somebody who was knocked out and is just stirring. I can see it clearly, a sort of loose, red, scruffy blob, that little twinkling of something as your eyes are adjusting in the moment. You got that, the little floaties in your eyes, and then the blue hits on it too, that very same thing. And the idea of the ear is the one that's up-tuned away from the grass because he's lying in the grass, and then the aroma hits in. So now he's fully awake in the moment or fully conscious, and everything is kind of hit because he's on the honey colored scented fluff, reaching up the stir receptors, identifying both want and who above the smudgy gray grass. And the smudgy gray grass kind of be where somebody is lying.
Actually, I really like that thought, and it makes sense. It actually, now that you were saying that, and I really like your comment, it almost does kind of have that feel of somebody who, like you said, just, you know, like fell and hit their head. But I'm wondering, with the idea of the sense of smell is delicate, if maybe there isn't that idea of somebody who having a stroke. Because they say, I've read that when you have a stroke, there's one of the things is you get this, you suddenly smell things, like smells that weren't there before. So, but really makes it a more intriguing write with your comment. So very cool. All right. What do we got next, Rex?
punished expectation by confess.
Oh, and it's my turn already. I suppose that's what happens. Yep. All right. The road to keeping your soul doesn't exist. Froze, let the rivers flow into an abyss. This haunting mist follows the ages of atrocity, European schemes, surges, and it stings. Lips moving in a sultry, rhythmic dream. Mercy, I beg for mercy. Yet deafening blows cut off my bloodstream. Loud explosions, no sound imploding. The colors painted, the universe noticed. My fate disappears. No expectation focused. The punishment for seeking truth convicted. I'm forbidden fruit. Symbolically, there was no life to retribution. Painfully, I executed myself. As soon as my skin touched the metal and blood rushed the streets, the punishment was over and I was finally free. End poem. And Rex, your thoughts.
Let's see. Well, that first couplet hits on the idea of lost, the road to keeping your soul doesn't exist. So there's an implication there of what comes with it. The haunting mist follows the age of atrocity, European schemes, surges, and stings. Mercy, I beg for mercy. So imprisonment comes, deafening blows, cut off my bloodstream, loud explosions, no sound imploding. Kind of hits on the idea of walking out into something that's full of sound from where, from whence one is, the sound is muted. Again, the same thought with the colors painted, the universe noticed, my fate disappears, no expectation, focus. Like I hit on the walking out with no expectations, but there's still such a hope. The idea of seeking for truth, convicted on forbidden fruit. Implication is politically involved, political prisoner, and the skin touched the metal, the blood rushed the streets. There's a new life in that line right there. The punishment was over, and I was finally free. That's kind of walking out the door, held high, and relishing the moment, so to speak.
I like that thought. You know, I really like that you mentioned the idea of a political prisoner. I kind of picked up on that too, especially with lines like where it mentioned the punishment for seeking truth. I really like this all the way through. It had some great rhyme and flow, strong imagery. This haunting mist follows the ages of atrocity, European schemes, surges, and it stings. It kind of makes me think of I can't remember what it's called. Like I hate when this happens. It was like when I got to think of it. It's so close to my head. Oh, well, I'll think of it later, which sucks because it's an important part of my comment. When the there was the killing of all the Muslim people, what do they call those? By the Catholic Church. The Crusades. That's it. So that makes me think of the Crusades and the idea of killing other people because they don't conform to your beliefs. I also like how this does focus on the idea of someone who seeks the truth, and because they seek it, they are convicted. And as soon as my skin touched the metal and blood rushed the streets, the punishment was over and I was finally free. I like how those lines speak to me of the freedom that comes with death. It's almost like, to me, it speaks on the idea of the death of a martyr. So, excellent write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Off the Hook by B.J. Reiter. Looking askew at my fate, like a high-speed bullet coming for me, I am stuck in a morbid reverie, insulated only by my imaginings, numbed and paralyzed by my fears. Inner voice consoles me. My paradigm explodes, disintegrates, and I am exalted as I dictate from a higher perspective that gives me hope of seeing options other than the sentence of death by hanging. My inner guides advise me to make a run for it as fast as my feet can glide down the gallows stairs. The executioner had a fight with his wife this morning and forgot to tie the knot with me. My right wrist is bent by the aerodynamic plunge into freedom and palm.
Great read, Rex. I really like how he has covered all three paintings with and almost gives it like a, even though the form is not the same, it's almost like reading a vignette. I like that. First frame, second frame, third frame. this has just really thought-provoking lines, and it's a very introspective write. I like how it's struggling with those, almost like those inner demons. I really like, and then listening to that inner voice, that, you know, that idea of trusting your judgment in certain times. Inner voice consoles me. My paradigm explodes, disintegrates, and I am exalted as I dictate from a higher perspective that gives me hope of seeing options other than the sentence of death by hanging. Those lines speak strongly on that idea of, finding hope when things seem most hopeless. And I like the repetition of the idea of that inner guide, that inner voice. The use of the word aerodynamic I thought was also wonderful. My right wrist is bent by the aerodynamic plunge into freedom. Yeah, that idea that search for freedom can end up breaking us physically and emotionally. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Walk a couple of ways. But I'm going to go with, well, the thought, the executioner had a fight with his wife this morning and tied a knot with me. My right wrist is bent by the aerodynamic plunge into freedom. That kind of hits on the notion of not having tied the knot with me, the obviousness of one walking into but hasn't quite got there yet, and they're escaping their fate in marriage because his wife, kind of the fight between them, forgot to tie the knot with me. That seems almost obvious. But it kind of also looks like, since it does say off the hook, is this a worm on a hook, bait for what is to come, the hanging and the plunge into freedom, that loose notion of, didn't quite bait me right on the hook, and now I'm free in the water. But does that also mean that it's just a brief look before being gobbled up on the other end?
Huh. Yeah, I like that idea, the imagery of the fish and the hook that gets away, and that idea that, you know, the idea of a man who is going to be hanged and gets away. And you're right, that is, you know, and I'm glad you pointed out those end lines that the executioner had a fight with his wife this morning and forgot to tie the knot with me. That was actually really clever wordplay there with the double meaning of tie the knot. So, very cool. Great observations there, Rex. All right. And what do we got next?
Wouldn't You by Julie Buck.
All right. And it goes like this. There is no circle of life, only an unsafe semicircle. Some of us got loose when the shepherd got stuck with eyes closed, and now we shoot the bird to people. People suck. And we bleed with no shame, only scrapings of what we left behind. And I find when inside that bullshit sheepish enclosure, I look down on everybody because I'm better than him, than her, than he. I'm fucking better than even me. Shedding blood is what we do. Fuck the circle of life. I'd rather live in a square. Wouldn't you? And poem. All right. And your thoughts, Rex?
Being stuck in an echo chamber that only hears a singular voice, and the idea of walking in that very same realm, the implication, the shepherd, the church, so to speak, and forgetting what life is about, because I'm better than him, her, and than he, and I'm better than me, so to speak, of the idea of one is better than the next person, and having that pounded into you because you don't walk outside that circle itself. It's just an echo that keeps reverberating in on itself and getting you to believe in what it is.
I like that. I like that. That reverberating echo that keeps getting you to believe what it is. And I did really like the imagery and the metaphor in this. And the second stanza, as you mentioned, some of us got loose when the shepherd got stuck with eyes closed. And now we shoot the bird to people. It's that whole idea of a higher power that didn't bother to pay attention. And now chaos has ensued. As far as the question at the end, I do like the lines at the end, fuck the circle of life, I'd rather live in a square, wouldn't you? I just feel like no matter what you're stuck in, you're stuck, you know? So, but I did like also the lines, and I find that when inside what that bullshit sheepish enclosure, I look down on everybody. And that speaks really strongly on the hypocrisy that often happens within the church. So, excellent write and very well done. All right. Oh, excuse me. What do we got next?
Dissentient by P.B. Cousin. Ill-fainted aroma of rot-scented perfume, still wafting burns and stings my eyes. Lonely thoughts coalescing without you, mire down in vicious cyclical lies. Decay of infected flesh of memories fall, as leper's limbs do, just all in due time. Solitary spotlight beams illuminating all, a place to erase your flawed design. Confinement alone for some time went, pretty rough a fellow as you so tossed, into the spiral hallways inside your head, battling the demons your humanity lost. Gotta kill and maim despicable gloom, as the pain's descending all around, whatever you stroll into the room, of gangrenous intravenous underground. Rotting remains a great destiny strayed. Free will's dissentient, your face found. Countless miles of track you had laid to gangrenous intravenous underground. And boom.
Really great read there, Rex. You know, I'm always impressed with Pee Wee's writing, his rhyme, his alliteration. You know, I really like the darkness in this, and the idea of how we end up poisoning ourselves. And it comes through, especially in certain lines, like mired down in vicious cycle lies. The idea of repeating this, how lies seem to go from family member to family member, from generation to generation. I also like confinement alone for some time went pretty rough, Othello, as you so tossed into the spiral hallways inside your head, battling the demons your humanity lost. The wonderful imagery to express the idea of someone being lost to madness, being lost to insanity. I also like countless miles of track you had laid to gangrenous intravenous underground. To me, I almost think it's become the idea of the poison that we put within our veins, or the emotional and psychological poison that goes into a mind falling apart. So powerful, dark, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Junky reality, especially with those the gangrenous intravenous underground, whatever you stole into that room, the countless miles of track you had laid. Those are the veins you've popped, and you've left those track lines up and down your arms. So, yes, although it does start out with the title, Dissension, the disassociation of ascendancy in the moment by giving into that craving of pumping your veins full of heroin and just sinking into the abyss. Still wafting burns and stings my eyes, that rock-scented perfume. That's the cooking on the spoon itself. The decay of infected flesh of memory swallowed. That's a duality. You're trying to escape. Yes, the decay of infected flesh is also that which you do to yourself, because you're not taking care of yourself while you're doing this, so you get infections along with it. Confinement alone, you could push that into the thought of being locked up as because you've gone too far, or the confinement alone is, hey, you're just in a shooting gallery and pretty rough a fellow as you toss into the spiral hallways inside your head, battling the demons your humanity lost. So you could walk that in the mental institution, but it hits more like a shooting gallery.
Yeah, definitely. I could see that. Really great observations. All right, what do we got next?
We All Walk by Grant G.
We all walk. We all walk as if on a wheel, rats trapped, lost of ideal. Heads down, smiles frowned. People have lost the right to be real. Countries at war, the cost of living soars. Governments chat while swinging bats. Prisons are full, drugs use seems cool. Disease kills the world, humans are fools. We all walk the line, but not many feel fine. We're greedy, we're rude, I ain't trying to be crude. People sell children to buy themselves food. Emissions still rise, burning our skies. Our oceans we poison. We cut down our trees. Intelligent man grows in disease. Condemned we are, and not from afar. The hope we need isn't allowed to seed. Poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
But the idea of paradise lost when everything's walking down the tube. It hits on current conditions, countries at war, cost of living, government chat while swinging bats. True. Not many feel fine. We're greedy. We're rude. I ain't trying to be crude. A fact of what is. People sell children to buy themselves food. Omissions still rise, burning out skies. That should probably be emissions, not omissions. But the idea of people sell their children, yes. It is what happens when all else is let loose upon itself, although the idea of selling children, selling their own children is kind of a, you might as well just have somebody kill you so at least they can get insurance money for food.
Yeah, I like that thought there. Hold on, I am going to comment. I'm just getting rid of a link that is wrong. And there we go. All right, hold on. Sorry. For some reason, amongst all the poems, I put the link to the contest. So I'm not quite sure who's right I'm missing, but I'll figure it out. Okay. So, yeah, I really like how you talked about how the desperation of getting to the point where, you know, you might as well let somebody kill you in order to get the money. I thought this was a powerful and emotive write with short, impactful lines. I really like how it speaks of a history of violence and a lack of freedom. But it's not just history. As you said, it focuses in also on current times. Really like the imagery of we all walk as if on a wheel, rats trapped, lost of ideal. I also really like countries at war, the cost of living soars, governments chat while swinging bats. That's just wonderful imagery, and the whole idea that, you know, a dictatorship, you know, that, you know, yeah, acts like they want to hear what you have to say or have a conversation, but really they just want you to, you know, sit down and shut up. I also like how he brings in people sell children to buy themselves food, emissions still rise, burning our skies. You know, he goes into the idea of not only how we treat each other, but how we treat children and how we treat nature and how there's this disrespect for life in general. So excellent write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Hope of a Condemned Man by Scott Schultz. Death is a painting unfinished, a line cut into canvas in no particular direction with no intent of going anywhere purposeful. Is life purposeful? I place dots on my canvas, no reason to connect them. With a grease pencil, I shade sanity. It seems just a scribble to some. Then I erase it just to see if sanity is still there. I don't see it. Life can be so abstract sometimes. A blotch of red, scratches of blue, a splotch of yellow. And oh.
Great read there, Rex. Yeah, this is a wonderful, it has a wonderful observational tone. I like how he writes on the process of creating the art, and it has a very introspective feel to it. I really like a line cut into a canvas in no particular direction with no intent of going anywhere purposeful. Is life purposeful? I like how he, in those lines, he gives the idea, the reflection of the art reflecting the life itself, and the idea that there is no purpose in the movement of the line, and therefore is there really any purpose in life. And I also really like, then I erase it just to see if sanity is still there. I don't see it. You know, I like this searching for that solidity you need in life, that idea of wanting that solid foundation and for everything to have meaning and purpose and not being able to find it. Wonderful take on the prompt and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
The question is the answer, because it points right back to death is a painting unfinished. I mean, but the walk through life itself, a line cut into a canvas in no particular direction with no intent of going anywhere purposeful. That is the singularity of someone who has no direction. I place dots on my canvas, no reason to connect them. The idea of trying this, but not connecting the dots to make the journey transactional have some meaning. The grease pencil is shading. It seems just a scribble of some. It's because you're not actually offering up any cogent notion to walk within. And the thought of erasing it is just forgetting that you ever gone that route, so you make the mistakes again. And then the idea of life can be so abstract sometimes, yes, because you're not paying attention to the fact that odd things happen. And that's the notion of a blotch of red, scratch of blue, a splotch of yellow. Sometimes you got to look just beyond the notion of color and see what goes past that thought.
I like that. I like the idea of, as you said, going and making the same mistakes over and over again, which, you know, is, I believe, as they say, the definition of insanity. So it makes sense with the lines that I erased to see if sanity is still there. So cool observation. All right. What do you got for us next?
The Armageddon Song by Mindful.
All right. Why would I even try? They're going to kill me all the same. Martyrs and Madonnas die by any other name. Pursuit of all I couldn't have and things I didn't want have made me think another stab at death and all her haunts. I despise autumn skies and red dawn's empty sun. I'd rather pluck my very eyes than be the only one to touch the sky and no one there to hear me cry, alone and high without a drug, no one to hear, no one to hug. I am the only one. Men of reason failed us. Fusion tried to kill us. They say we only live once. Is this our only renaissance? Now empty plains once deep in trees and endless dying roads. Lend no hand upon my knees. I genuflect and fold. I despise autumn skies and red dawn's empty sun. I'd rather pluck my very eyes than be the only one to touch the sky and no one there to hear me my cry, alone and high without a drug, no one to hear, no one to hug. I am the only one. End poem. Oh, and sorry, your thoughts, Rex.
Last person on earth theme. It's on the idea of being that last singularity and not having a sound, a bird, a song, or anything else around for that matter. No one to speak to, nothing to read, no one to bounce thoughts off of. Kind of hits at the idea of, well, that's not a world that is meant for me or one such as I. But then again, it is kind of a lament for the idea of being alone.
It does have, you're right, it does have a lament type feel. And I like that he repeated that one stanza, and, you know, as he says, the Armageddon song. It does have a very, with the rhyme and the repeating stanza, it has a very lyrical and song-like quality. I think I would have liked to have heard Mindful make a recording of this one, you know, and I like how this speaks on the idea of someone who is, as you said, the last person on earth. I particularly, you know, like that chorus and then the line, men of reason failed us. Fusion tried to kill us. They say we only live once. Is this our only renaissance? I also like that he brings in the imagery of, I despise autumn skies and red dawn's empty sun. I'd rather pluck my very eyes than be the only one. You know, the idea of the red dawn's empty sun and the autumn skies somehow makes me think of what you could imagine, like the things would look like after a nuclear explosion. you know, it just definitely got a very deep darkness to it, a real emotive charge within, and a beautiful lyrical quality. I also like in his AN where he put, I envisioned a post-Armageddon Last Man on Earth theme through the filter of Jim Morrison's head. And I hope I did him justice even in my sober state. Well, I think so, though, you know, you could always get drunk next time he writes a poem for us. So excellent writing, very well done. All right. What do you got for us next, Rex?
Prayer of a Hopeless Man by Dammit Dave. I'm drowning in my angst and all my pain. Can someone teach me how to live again? I've lost it all, and now I'm all alone. I so regret the bitter seeds I've sown. I'm going under for the final time. The hill of life's now much too hard to climb. The hopelessness I feel is dire and rife. I'm reaching out my hand. Please save my life. Where do I turn when all my hope is gone? How do I find the strength to carry on? I'm choking on the fumes of my despair. God, please give me a sign if you are there. You'd be the only one who understands, and so I place my life within your hands. Please save this battered ship that's run aground. Oh, Lord, please help me turn my life around. And poem.
Wonderful read there, Rex. I thought this was an excellent write by Dammit Dave. It wasn't written for our contest. He put it on the topic board, but it fit really well with the theme of, you know, the idea of hope of a condemned man. I was looking at the contest you wrote this for, and it was to the song by The Fray, How to Save a Life, which is absolutely one of my favorite songs. It's one of the ones of many songs that can just bring me to absolute tears. And I like how he captures, this has great rhyme and flow. I like how it has such an emotional impact, and he captures this desperation of someone who is on the verge of suicide, whose life is a complete just in despair and mess, and they're reaching out for that sign of hope, that sign of help. I'm choking on the fumes of my despair. God, please give me a sign if you are there. You'd be the only one who understands, and so I place my life within your hands. There's a wonderful spirituality to this, but also a sense of desperation and loneliness as one struggles to understand life. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Deep depression bordering on despair. I'm going on it for the final time. That might hit on the thought of suicide, but it kind of hits it hits the idea of someone who's mentally drowning in the moment. And then the final two stanzas hit on the idea of what he'd lost in the meantime, which was his thought to spirituality. God, please give me a sign if you are there. When you hit the bottom angle of something, and the only one left is something that you've already given hope of walking within, or even praying for, becomes your mantra in the back end of things. And please help me turn my life around. That hits on the idea of someone who is not yet willing to die, but needs something to help stand once more.
I like that idea of needing that help to stand once more, and that idea of the depression that goes into despair. So, excellent comment. And your thoughts, Rex? I mean, sorry. What do you got for us next, Rex?
Spaces in Between by Betty Page.
All right. Seduce me, I gasp, melodically allure, spaces in between, beauty and silence, poetically entwined. Inhale sweet, my love, dance on chandeliers, swinging above my nude flesh. I'll pop your champagne, then again music plays gently, caressing souls lost in ambiance and poem. And we have moved on to our second contest, which was the quote contest. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, she hits on the note of music. So, and the thought of dance of chandeliers swinging above all poppy champ. There is a definite undertone to that as far as the thought. But I'm guessing it walks more along the lines of music. The in-between beats, those notes to life that actually sing in the moment. The idea of seduce me, I guess, and the thought of any lyric space in between those moments when the music lulls and then kicks off in a new direction, sort of exciting the mind with the flow of what's coming.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really liked the imagery in this. I thought it was a wonderful, heartfelt rite on the beauty of silence, love, and soft music. I really liked beauty and silence poetically entwined. Inhale, sweet, my love. And then when she says that, then again, music plays gently, caressing my soul, lost in ambiance. I love the use of the word ambiance and the idea of the emotion and the sensuality that is found in between the notes and in between the conversations. So excellent write and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
Eloquence of Silence by Anton Ansford. What I am looking for, the intimacy of strangers, the warmth of a winter day, the respectability of thieves, the infinitivalism of the universe, the sadness of beauty, the protection of the weak, the speechlessness of gossips, the eyes of the blind, and the company of the disloyal.
Great read, Rex. I like how this has almost a positive note, a sense of hope in its own way. But I was amused by this one because it made me think of the idea of going in for a job interview. You know, like you could almost imagine this being somebody interviewing God, you know, interviewing for the position of God and saying, okay, these are the things I want to happen in this world, and not only in this world, but the universe. I really like also how, you know, like, he says, the sadness of beauty, the protection of the weak, the speechlessness of gossips, you know, I like how this speaks on the idea of, you know, looking for, wanting the good in the world, the people, wanting people to want to protect the weak and to reach out to each other in love. It's interesting, though, how it kind of takes a sharp turn at that end line. You know, the eyes of the blind and the company of the disloyal. You know, like eyes of the blind, I get because, you know, if you're blind, you become more aware in other ways. But the company of the disloyal. Just not quite sure about that line, but the general tone I get from it. Is that idea of wanting change in the world. There's a lot of juxtaposition in this, I think that it makes it extremely intriguing. So very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
I think it's kind of split. The intimacy of strangers, the walk of the wind today, the respectability of thieves. the infinitism of the universe. So far, the universe is an infinite motion in its expansion at this point in time. The idea of warmth of a winter day, intimacy of strangers, kind of hits on the edge. There is, when it comes to strangers, there is silence. So there is a nice rote thought to intimacy in that moment because the silence is shared. The warmth of a winter day kind of hits on that night, that beauty of childhood, because kids don't get really cold or their bodies burn a different way. The respectability of thieves kind of hits on that idea of honor among thieves. The sadness of beauty works within in paintings. Protection of the weak, speechlessness of the gossips. I think that one's in there for a throw. The eloquence of silence.
I think there so too. Yeah.
Because it offers up such a nice idea of shut the mouths. The eyes of the blind also kind of points to the sadness of beauty itself. And the company of the disloyal hits on that idea of keep your friends close and your enemies closer, because there's always a bit more intrigue in that group.
Yeah, actually, I can see that. You know, those are really great observations. Yeah, it does, that end line, now that you say that, it does have that idea of how that saying that when you get betrayed, it's never by an enemy, it's always by a friend, because an enemy, you don't consider it a betrayal because they're acting exactly how you expect them to act. All right, very cool. All right, what do we got next?
Deaf Interpreter by Thomas D.
Is it my turn?
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Poetry was on stage. The interpreter awaited. Language given wings, allowed to be formed into its dance, where the body is spoken. Silence provokes, emptiness waits. As soon as the poet spoke, we were filled. As she signed, we were enlarged. Words became dynamic, feelings twined by fingers, laced by arms, meaning enhanced. As poetry rained, she swept it into our hearts. As rivers of vision cascaded in the interaction between poet and the woman signing, the poem ends. She becomes a voice of stillness, ready to release poetry to flight. Her quiet is potential, like a racehorse waiting for release. Everything begins in silence. End poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
There's a dynamic quality to this because it doesn't walk the same way. You got the poet speaking on stage. Yes, there is no sound. There is no hustle and bustle. There's no quiet hush. There is just 40, 60, 80, 100 eyes watching the interpreter, offering up the value of the words spoken, and then that graphic notion of expanding the thought with the use of sign language and how it becomes a little bit more larger than life in the moment because you've got however many eyes and attentive voices, attentive lookers on. It is the only sound, it is a singularity, his voice and her fingers. So something a bit different.
It is. And I like that. And I like the idea of the connection between the poet and the sign language interpreter. Yeah, I had to give this one bronze. I thought the use of imagery that pulls us into the moment and keeps us captivated works really well. I thought it was a brilliant write on the way that sign language and poetry to combine to become a dance of thought. And there is something, like, I don't know sign language, but there is something so beautiful and fascinating about watching it. Like, I went to church with my roommate last week or a couple weeks ago, and they have a sign language interpreter there. And you know, it's just interesting to watch the way the fingers, the arms, and the hands just all kind of do this dance and keep up with the words that are being said or being sung, especially when there's like a song. It's the worship time, the singing time, and you know, the connection between the music and the movement of the hands that are creating the words. I really like the ending, especially with everything begins in silence, and that is so true. There's no speech, no words, no proclamations of love or whatever, you know, that start, you know, with, they always start with that indraw of breath and that moment of silence, or at least they should, you know. And so, wonderful write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Before I Doze Off by Eric Svensson. Lullaby wave cavalcade. Lullaby wave cavalcade cauldrons condenses familiar sounds. Silence spills, thrills, wind surface splash, salted sea spray spews. Wedge skein skim, frothy white caps resistance cut down to size. Silent animation of happy humdinger hunks. C-type wetsuits glisten, white noise of lullaby wave cavalcade cauldrons. Condenses swift lift, tilt spin around movement. Surreal pantomime soothes. Synapses slow down. Hammock becomes a space shuttle. Final boarding call as heavy eyelids closed. Liftoff. Golden silence swaddles, cuddles, curdles reality. Gravity may anchor inert body. Spirit goes a walkabout. Last cognitive didgeridoo breath exhales. Serene immobility of restful sleep. And poem.
Great read, Rex. As always, Eric has wonderful imagery and alliteration. I really enjoyed the sense of movement in this and the descriptions. Wedge steam skim, frothy white cap resistance cut down to size, silent animation of happy humdinger hunks, seal tight wetsuits glisten, white noise of lullaby waves, cavalcade cauldrons, you know, wonderful imagery and alliteration. I also like the surreal pantomime soothes, synapses slow down, hammock becomes a space shuttle. Very dreamy type thoughts there, very surreal thoughts, and the idea of being swept away in the moment. I really liked that. I said to him, I thought it was beautiful and thoughtful imagery, an excellent write on being lulled to sleep by the sound of the waves and beginning the journey of a soaring spirit. And I had to laugh and smile at his response, which was inspired by life here beside the aquatic ocean, Pam, where windsurfers strut their aquatic stuff. And I can definitely see that idea of watching those windsurfers and their performances and as they dance upon the waves. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, that hammock hits on the idea of, well, not just sitting on a beach in a hammock, so to speak, but hammock on old ships. You weren't really given a bunk, so to speak. You were given a hammock. So you had that as the ships were out to sea. You had that idea of actually floating within the waves itself. Because the waves would hit the ship, you'd have that sort of salty sea air sprayed around, and the quiet movement almost swaddled, because the hammock does swallow you, the swaddling in the moment and being rocked back and forth. The idea with the windsurfing angle, using that kind of hits on a counting sheep motif, because he hits on that the last cognitive didgeridoo breath exhales, serene immobility of restful sleep. Kind of hits on that idea of counting sheep, but actually in his case, silent animation of happy humdinger hunks, seal tight wetsuits glisten, white noise of lullaby wave cavalcade calls him. So back on that idea of the motion of the ocean and the thought of the quiet whispering up against the hull of the ship.
I like that. Really cool. I do like the phrase happy humdinger hunks. I thought that was really cool. I don't know. When I see the word hammock and the mention of a beach, I think like banana hammocks. But I did like the use of the line last cognitive didgeridoo, the didgeridoo being an Australian instrument that is known for making like a particularly high-pitched sound. So excellent thoughts there, and very well done. And great comment there, Rex. All right. What do we have next?
Solace by Dammit Dave.
All right. Yes, I know. Sorry. I'm just a little slow on the uptake. All right. The noise of this world permeates me, my heart beating out of tune to heavy metal poisoning. Music morphs to chaos, melodies wear masks of dissonance, pounding, resounding in the canyons of my ears, and I must run, sprinting into the comforting arms of silence. And she soothes me with hushed lips and smiles a secret smile, humming a tacit tune that eases my mind like a reticent lullaby, till only the solace of stillness remains. End poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
City life, the noise of this world permeates me. Heavy metal poisoning, it's the breath of that which is toxic, that which walks around. The idea of music use in this, melodies wear masks of dissonance, the idea of not being able to see that which you're actually hearing. Yes, it's nothing, some kind of animalistic ferocity that assaults the canyons of his ears. The idea of the back last four stanzas kind of hits on that notion of getting back to a more natural idea of world, getting back to nature, going out on a camping trip somewhere alone and seeing the sun rise over some mountains, or taking a walk in the woods, somewhere where there's not anything except you, nature in the moment, the sounds of reality, that which moves, that which breathes, that which is alive, as opposed to the shrieking of what city life brings.
Absolutely, yeah. There, this one I gave the gold because I thought it was beautifully written. It had a way of emotionally grabbing you. I really appreciated how he personified silence as a lover whose arms you run into. I like how this was about, needing that time away from the noise of the world. As you mentioned, most likely a bigger city. I really like the play on words and my heart beating out of tune to heavy metal poisoning. Music morphs to chaos. Melodies wear masks of dissonance. It's that idea that sometimes even things that can be, captivating at some point, like there can be an interest in the noise and sounds all around you. But oftentimes, especially as you're dealing with bigger areas like cities, they become overwhelming. I really like the transition line of, and I must run, sprinting into the comforting arms of silence. and she soothes me with hushed lips and smiles, a secret smile. Because there is something, you know, about being on your own, you know, in a silent area, like you said, out in nature, that makes it so that it's only you and your thoughts, and so no one else has to share in that secret in that moment. So excellent writing, very well done. All right, and what do you have for us next, Rex?
The last one. The Price is Right to Fight by Lawrence 67.
Wait, we have one by Liquid Mind Forever that you didn't get to.
You told me to wait.
No, I told you. No, I said I took one of hers down because there was a what I thought was a grammar error. And that was for the first contest. She wrote for both contests. So this one I left up because it can be read. But why don't you go ahead and, since there's only two left and we have nearly a half hour, go ahead and read Lawrence, and then you can read Liquid Mind.
The Price is Right to Fight by Lawrence 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat in The Price is Right to Fight. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Price is Right to Fight. I am your host, Bob Barker. It's kind of chilly in here, isn't it? Now, our first contestant here on The Price is Right to Fight is Nigel the Fat Cat. Come on down. Yay! All right, Nigel, you the cat. That's my dog. Well, Nigel, it seems that you brought your fan club today to root you on. What's the name of it?
Alfie.
Okay, Nigel, as you know, the name of the show is The Price is Right to Fight. So as you also know, there are three curtains up there and one grand prize, two not-so-grand prizes. So which curtain would you like to pick to fight, Nigel? Number one, number two, or number three?
Pick three, Nigel. Pick three.
Number two.
Alfie, which one should I pick? Number three, Nigel. Pick number three.
Number three, Bob. Oh, we want number three.
Yay. Come on, big prize. No whammy.
Okay, Nigel, and behind door number three, we have a pack of wild, crazed dogs.
Huh? Oh, shit. Feet, don't fail me now. Run, Nigel, run.
Well, we're out of time. This is Bob Barker. It's cold saying, don't forget to have your pet spayed and neutered. Now, Nigel, I don't believe that running all up and down and around the stage constitutes fighting. Good night, everybody.
Oh, Lord, help me. Run, Nigel, run. Help.
And bump.
Well, that was very entertaining there, Rex. I have to say you do a wonderful job with barking and growling. You really brought your inner beast out there. You know, I have to admit I see absolutely no connection with either prompts. But it was an entertaining write, and almost had a nostalgic feel to it with the mention of The Price is Right. And I like that Bob Barker was very clever. You know, it just was, it was a clever and fun presentation. I do like the picture that he attached to this. Look, it honestly looks like it looks like the one cat is picking on the other cat. It's like one of those moments when siblings are like, I'm not touching you. And but yeah, I have to say bravo on that read, Rex. That really was just wonderfully entertaining. So very cool. Very well done. And your thoughts?
You could walk it this, I condemn Kitty going up against the show you know he shouldn't be on. So, yeah. All right. You get three doors. Which one you want? Well, it's one, two, or three. You got three choices. One's a good one, and the other two are hell. So he played out. I like the Price is Right angle of playing out which one you want, and you end up with the shit one anyway. So, and there's no hope now because you're getting chased around by hellhounds. I like that.
Yeah, I suppose if I was desperately reaching for straws, but all right. What do we have?
It's the hope of winning something out of doors one, two, or three, and utter reality is, yeah, you might get the chance, but it's only a one in three. So more often than not, 67% of the time, you're getting the shitty end of the stick. Simple, hope is lost, even though it presents itself.
All right, what do you got for us next?
Breathe, My Dear by Liquid Mind Forever. And she went with, what I am looking for is an immovable movement, something which would be the equivalent of what is called the eloquence of silence, or what St. John of the Cross, I think it was, described with the term mute music. Look then, no further than your breath, my dear. Is it not clear when you rise? Oh, bloody hell. Look then, no further than your breath, my dear. Is it not clear when you hear the rise and the fall, the all in all as you come near your final tier? At once all fear shall disappear, once and for all. Is this not the eloquence of silence you ask of us? You must not be afraid, for all particles of dust shall reunite hence, where poppies and soldiers once were laid. Devoid of angst, devoid of shame, the tame tiger not lame, not ashamed, lies at peace, divested of a claim no longer owned by fame. Come now, my dear, release, let all fear cease. Breathe in, breathe out. Is there any jot of doubt? Let go, let it all go. Find your transcendent root. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Rex. Yeah, I give this one silver. I thought it was a beautiful flow of words. And for me, the main message that it conveyed was the idea of learning to embrace yourself and find that peace within. I thought it was a wonderful meditative write. And that actually, the prompt she chose was the only prompt in that contest. It was like one quote, no other choices. And I did like the direction she took this. Like I said, there's a meditative quality to this. I really like, is this not the eloquence of silence you ask of us? You must not be afraid, for all particles of dust shall reunite hence where poppies and soldiers once were laid. Devoid of angst, devoid of shame, the tame tiger not lame, not ashamed, lies at peace. That idea of the soldier put to rest that has found that peace, I thought was powerful imagery. And it also speaks on the idea of that sometimes in silence, there's a darkness in silence, you know, like there's that idea that yes, there's peace found in death, but it's a death that shouldn't happen. And I really like the line, all particles of dust shall reunite. The idea that eventually all the little pieces of the puzzle that we don't see as a whole shall eventually come together. And we'll have this understanding that we didn't grasp before. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
It is about death. And it's also a kind of that note of going quietly into that good night. And not fighting the death which you know is coming because it happens to all. The thought of fear hits in this, where is it? Bloody hell. Come now, my dear, release, let all fear cease. The idea of holding fear of that which you know is coming, yet you're hanging on to life and making things worse for yourself because you're unaccepting of the reality of that which comes. But there is also another note. Divested of a claim no longer owned by fame. Hey, that should be released right there because you can't take that baggage with you. And breathe in, breathe out. Is there any joy, jot of doubts? Let go, let it all go. Find your transcendent route. The idea of giving into the moment, you'll find the idea as that light rises itself to meet your gaze and you make that transition.
I like that. I like the idea of making that transition from the dark to the light. Really great observation there. All right. Well, that is the end of our poetry, and so we'll do a little bit of shameless promoting. Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, is Open Poetry with Fill My Eyes and Company. Poetry readers and commenters, welcome. And then Saturday, 12:30 a.m., is Partsner Partsing with Aphasion and Babbler. As I always say, make sure to check out all the poetry contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And then Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time is Exploring Ekphrasis with Captain B2 and Daniel Deschino, and which then leads us to Sunday, Rhythm and Rhyme. What do you got going on for that, Rex?
I have a kind of an abstract, surreal notes from the Grateful Dead called Dark Star. Not a very long verbal piece, but it's quite the thought to pen off of, considering it's got some lovely lines in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, I have to agree with you. I read through those lyrics. They are beautifully surreal, stunning in what they offer up. Like you said, not particularly long piece, but so much in-depth thought put into the lines. And I'm definitely looking forward to reading the rites inspired by that. And some of the contests that I want to mention, Fill My Eyes is running a couple different contests, one for Solace of Shadows with some songs by Funkadelic, and one for Twisted Tuesdays, The Beauty of Autumn. And for next week, I have two contests that I'm running. One is After Midnight, Black Flag with the song lines, not entire songs, but just individual lines from the group Black Flag. And then for next week's Break On Through, we have The Art of Jose de la Barra, which I'm looking for rights for both of those. And so make sure to check out all those contests. And yes, definitely check out Rex's contest with those song lyrics. And the song is called Dark Star, right, Rex?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous and inspiring. Well, this has been a great show, Rex. Thank you, as always, for being here and being my co-host. Thank you to Fill My Eyes for everything she does in the background. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And have a good night, everyone. Have a good night, Rex.
Good night.